Yes.
Amen. You can be seated tonight. I know we normally do a fellowship time, but we're going to jump right in this evening and see if we can help people get on the roads a little earlier this evening than normal. And hopefully find our way home. We've had enough rain the last couple days that things flood up pretty quickly. So we're going to jump right in tonight. And if you would, take your Bible and first turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to be in a few different places this evening. And we're going to address a particular topic, kind of a topical message, just for a couple weeks, about 3 weeks. That we will probably look at this thought. We try to come back a few times a year and just think on prayer and on the spiritual disciplines of prayer and studying our Bible to try to be equipped, but not just equipped, but motivated and moved to obey the Lord in these things. And so tonight, hopefully you have a lesson sheet there at the Welcome Center. There's some. If you need to slip out and grab one, that's fine. It'll help you kind of follow along this evening. And when you first glance at it, do not be afraid. I realize there are 721 verses listed on this sheet. We're not going to read them all this evening, but they're there so that as you look at it and as you study it, and really there to kind of help see the overwhelming, convincing case, if you would, for this thought tonight, for praying the Scripture, praying the Bible. And it's something that I think can help us. When we think about prayer, what is prayer? In its simplest form, it is just speaking to God. It is just talking to the Lord and communicating with Him. There are some thought today that, well, prayer can be different things. That prayer can be meditation. That prayer can be consideration in our hearts. It's when we sit and we think. It's when we ponder something. And though those things are good, meditation is a good thing, that's not what the Bible teaches that prayer is. As you look at the Bible and you see the word pray, and it's used as a verb, when you see prayer used as a noun, when you see someone described as praying, and then this person, it lists, the Bible lists somebody's name, here's a person in Scripture, and they prayed. It's always in Scripture referring to communicating directly with God. That's always the way that it's presented. And when it commands us to pray, it's referring to, and it's described as talking, communicating, making a petition, recognizing a need, saying prayer or praise or adoration, but it is directed to the Lord. When you see that someone in Scripture and it says that they prayed, it says, oh, it's always referring to or described as, you look at the context around it, it is someone speaking to God. And so while it's hard to find a verse in the Bible, we say, well, where does the Bible define prayer? It doesn't give us a verse, chapter, and verse number and say, prayer is, and then a very quick explanation. But when you take the whole of prayer in Scripture, it's in its simplest form, it is a human being talking directly to and communicating with God, which is a good thing. It's the main way in which believers communicate with God. God has given us His Word to us, but then in turn, He calls us to speak words back to Him. It doesn't mean they have to be audible. It can be in our mind. It can be in our spirit and our heart. It can be in the thoughts of our day as we're in the presence of others or driving down the road, kneeling in our home, or whatever it may be, but it is communicating with God. God, who is a spirit, as we studied Sunday night, must be worshipped in spirit and in truth. It's our inner man. It's who we are, talking to, communicating with the Lord. Pretty simple, right, when you think about it that way. You have there in your notes a couple of questions, kind of as we get started, and we'll read one verse, and we'll open in prayer. I want you to think about this, some questions, and if you have something you can write with, I encourage you to write it in and just jot it down. If prayer is simply talking to God, and if prayer is something that we know that we're supposed to do, Scripture is inclined to tell us to pray. By example, Jesus prayed. By example, others in Scriptures prayed to the Lord, and the Lord blesses those prayers. By command, we're going to see in a moment, God instructs us to pray. We see by example, we see by command, we see even by its effect that prayer does things, that God answers prayer. And so if that's the case, we ask ourselves the question, why is it that Christians struggle to pray? I read a poll not too long ago taken of thousands of Christians across our country, and the average in prayer a week, not including prayers for meals or a prayer out of kind of habit, we pray before we start the service or we pray as we get ready to eat. Outside of those prayers, the average Christian spends a little less than 15 minutes in prayer a week. And some, it's drastically even less. So why is it that we sometimes struggle to pray? It's not necessarily just about the quantity of our prayer, but it seems like if the Bible talks about prayer as much as it does, that it should be something that we're more inclined to do, that we're more passionate about, that we're more eager to participate in, and that it's something that we rely on. You think about even as pastors were called in the New Testament, and as the apostles were out doing the ministry and planting churches, and they called deacons to serve in a physical way. Remember the reason that said that they did this is that we called these deacons to serve the physical need of the church so that those that were planting and preaching and establishing these churches, the pastors of the church says, so they can be given to prayer and the word. And so the emphasis, even in the New Testament, the Old Testament, there is an emphasis on prayer. So why is it that it's hard? Why is it a struggle? We talk to each other. We talk to human beings. Why is it a struggle to pray? And why do we feel like we are struggling in prayer at times in our lives? I think there's all kinds of reasons why. Some of the most common reasons when you talk with one another, we think about it in our own selves. Sometimes we just don't feel like it. I don't feel good. I'm tired. I'm stressed. I'm strained. I'm fatigued. And I don't have the bandwidth. My mind I can't concentrate on praying. I don't feel like it. I read, of course, you know that George Mueller and the stories of his prayer life and how God miraculously answered many different prayers, a faithful Christian, had the orphanage, but had several other things that he ran and was a part of. And his habit, he would say, if you read his journals and some of his writings, he said he would wake up in the morning and that he would get dressed, and his habit was to pray until breakfast. But he would get up very early before breakfast, and we think, oh, it's very spiritual. He got up so early so he could pray longer for hours at a time. But his description of it is that he would sometimes sit for 30 minutes, a half an hour to an hour, he said, before he would even feel like prayer could be uttered. And so he said it took him a while to even feel like praying. Sometimes we just don't feel like it. Sometimes it's because I can't concentrate. I start to pray, but I become distracted. I begin praying about one thing, and then I start thinking about another, and then the urgency of my day catches me, and I just can't concentrate. I can't do it. And then sometimes for us, it just feels repetitive. I just feel like I'm just saying the same thing over and over again. And if the Lord heard it, He knows my heart, and so maybe do I need to say it again in the same way? And I don't know that it's effective. I don't see a big change drastically and immediately, and so we have our reasons, but should we just give up and accept that for some reason prayer is not my thing? I think that Scripture presents it a different way. Look, if you would, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. It says, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, very simply, it just is a command. Pray without ceasing. As he's saying, we pray literally never ending, that all of my words, that I should just constantly be in a state, like I should be thinking and active, verbal prayer all the time. No, he's saying, pray, don't stop praying. He's not literally saying that as you go about your day, as you're conversing with others, that should be somewhere in your subconscious, verbal prayer being worded at all times. No, it's impossible. We're finite beings. It's not possible for us. So when he says, pray without ceasing, he says, pray without stopping praying. Always to be in a spirit of prayer. I can go to the Lord at any time. Yes, it includes that, but it also includes pray, and don't get to the place in your life that you stop praying. Pray without ceasing. So ask the Lord to help us tonight as we think about these things. Father, help us from your word and guide us even as we seek to learn to pray in a more effective way and in a way in which we are more impassioned for what you've called us to do. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. See, here tonight, kind of as we begin, we're told to pray. We see that in the verse we just read. Just pray without ceasing. Put another verse up there for you, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be careful for nothing. I mean, don't just harbor anxiousness, being full of care and anxiety about. Don't harbor anxiousness in your heart. But the other option of that is, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. Pray in everything and let your thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So he says, pray and don't stop praying. Then he says, pray in everything. So we're told to pray, but more than that, because sometimes we feel unable. You can jot these down. I think you have them there. Galatians chapter 4, verse 6 says, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. If you're a Christian tonight, God has put His Holy Spirit in you. God lives within you, and you live within God. And so by His Holy Spirit, notice, what does the Holy Spirit empower us to do? Empowers us to speak to our Father, to pray. Romans 8:15 echoes the same idea or the same thing. The Holy Spirit enables us to pray. So then what's the problem with our prayer life? Why do I struggle to pray? I think sometimes you just feel like I'm just saying the same thing over and over again. We meet on Wednesday nights, and sometimes the prayer list has changes and updates. Sometimes it doesn't have that many, and so do we just keep saying the same thing? Well, interestingly enough, you can flip over. We won't read all of it, but look at Luke 18. Luke 18 teaches us that praying about the same things is not a problem. In fact, it tells us the opposite. Luke 18, Jesus spoke a parable, and it says he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. The word faint, not pass out, but to give up, to lose hope. And so he says, men, people, ought to always pray and don't give up praying. So how did he teach them? He teaches them this parable. We won't read it all, but if you look at verse 2 down through verse number 8, he says, there's a city, there's a judge, there's a ruler, which feared not God, neither regarded man. There was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. Someone had wronged this widow. She goes to the ruler and says, bring justice for me. And he would not for a while. So he wouldn't do it. But afterward, he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard men, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her, notice, continual coming, she weary me. So Jesus gives a parable about a woman who comes to a ruler and asks for the same thing, talks about the same stuff over and over and over again. And Jesus teaches us that that's okay. He says it's a good thing. In fact, he presents it as something that's a good thing. And he says, it's not bad, it's not a problem to pray about the same thing. But for us, and if you would flip over to Matthew chapter 6, for us sometimes, it's not about praying about the same thing, but sometimes there's a problem when we just say the same things about the same things. When I just keep saying the same words over and over, there ends up sometimes being a mental block for me. Or sometimes, have you ever prayed and not really even thought about at all what you're praying? Because there's phrases that you've gotten used to saying. There's things that you've got used to asking. Maybe you list a different name, but you say the same five things after each name. Give this, 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 and this. Give this, 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 and this. Do this, 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 and this. And we just list it out. We just say the same thing over and over and over. Bible actually has, you say, this doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel effective. Should I just keep doing that? Some may have the self-discipline to keep doing that over and over, while others feel like, practically, this is not what prayer is supposed to be. And we have a good inclination when we think that. Look at Matthew chapter 6, verse number 7. Jesus is teaching them about prayer. He says, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be ye not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of, because before ye ask Him. So Jesus, in teaching about prayer, He says, don't just use useless, empty repetition. Don't just say the same thing over and over. When you go to bed at night, don't just say the same prayer over and over and over. When you pray for a meal, don't just say the same thing over and over every day. When you wake up, don't just say the same stuff. Don't just, you know, we have our greeting, our way, you know, We have a way that we start a letter for if we're going to write a letter or we're going to write an email. We have an opening greeting, and here's kind of what we say. And sometimes we pray the same way. We just address. We say the same five phrases over and over and over again, or we repeat them in the same way and over and over. He says, don't think that you're being effective in your prayer because you do it a lot. That's not what God is looking for. He's looking for you to speak to Him, to talk to Him. If I walk in the door and like any husband and wife, any spouse, sometimes communication is a struggle. All of us have communication struggles at times. But I know for sure one thing that's not good in communication is if I just come home and just say the same thing every single day. Well, how was work? Or how was this? And I just say the same five phrases over and over. I'm not actually talking. I'm not actually communicating. I'm just saying the same thing over and over. I read a story recently about a man who would ask his daughter every day, how was school? What'd you do at school today? Oh, you know, same old, same old. And they just finished up their school year in May. And he said, in June, we got kind of the end of year bulletin for the school. And they had a picture in it of my daughter in a beekeeper suit holding like a 15-pound beehive dripping with honey and bees all over her from head to toe. He said, she never told me about that. Like in the whole year, I said every day, how was school? What did you do? Oh, the same old, same old. And she would just kind of say what her day was, but not actually communicate, not actually talk. And we can do that with the Lord sometimes, is that we talk to Him, we talk at Him without talking to Him. And that can be a problem in our lives. I want you to notice in Luke chapter number 1, Luke 11, look over there if you would. Luke chapter 11. Y'all are quiet tonight. I know there's a storm. Breathe. Someone breathe. It's okay. Luke chapter 11. And look, if you would, in verse number 1. It says, and it came to pass that as he was praying, Jesus was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Lord, if we see you praying, you must be pretty good at prayer. Would you teach us to pray? And notice this. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say. So he starts giving an example prayer. Here's what I want you to notice, that Jesus does not qualify prayer with anything. When he says, Lord, teach us to pray, Jesus doesn't say, well, first, before you pray, you have to do this, 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 and this. Before you pray, your life has to be this, 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 and this. Before you pray, you have to finish a certain number of things. You have to know a certain number of verses. You have to go to church a certain number of times. If you want to really pray like I pray, he said, Lord, teach us to pray. If you want to really pray like I pray, then this has to be what you have attained or accomplished in your life. He doesn't do that. Lord, teach us to pray. Okay, everybody here that's listening to my voice, you can all pray. Here is how you pray. The Lord doesn't give any exceptions. He doesn't give any qualifications. And he doesn't set any limitations. And you see that all over Scripture. There's nowhere in Scripture where we're given a command to pray that it is attached to a certain type of person, to a certain maturity level spiritually. No, it just says for all of us. We are all to pray. If you're a believer in Christ, that's the qualification of praying, having a life of prayer, is that you're a Christian and a believer. You can be 5 years old, 9 years old, 10 years old, 50 years old. It doesn't matter your age. You can pray and talk to God. Doesn't matter your IQ level, your education level. It doesn't matter what language you speak. It doesn't matter what resources you have. Have you ever thought about how spoiled we are? If you go look up online, go on Amazon and just look up books on praying, there's hundreds of books on praying. But you can go to some areas of the world, and in their language, they don't even have the full Bible written yet in their language, let alone a book on prayer. But here's the great thing. When Jesus says, hey, here's who can pray and how you pray, he doesn't say you have to have books on prayer, you have to have these different things. You can be a child of God and pray. And so, when we look at that, how is it that we should pray? Notice he gives, in chapter 11, he then gives this model prayer that we are familiar with, we know of as the Lord's Prayer. It's mentioned almost verbatim twice in Scripture. There's a little bit of differences. But notice the notice how he describes it. In verse 2, 3, and 4, he gives the example prayer. But then notice in verse 5 how he describes what prayer is like. Verse 5, "And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend?" He gives an example of having a friend. What is that? It's the relationship. Then notice he says down in verse number 11, "If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father." So he gives these two examples. He says, "Lord, teach us to pray." Okay, when you pray, pray like this. And then he attaches to his teaching on prayer, like a friend, like a son. So what is he saying? It's built in relationship, not in qualification. You don't qualify as being a good prayer or not. All you have to do is have a relationship with the Lord. And so then, why are we still struggling with prayer? If it's not limited by age, intelligence, ability, resource, or anything about us individually, and we know that it's just talking to God, and we know that we're commanded to do it, and we know that God answers prayer, why is it that if I were to go around the room tonight and we had one-on-one conversation, most of us would admit that there are seasons of our lives where we just struggle to pray? There's a lot of different things to that. But here's what I want us to look at tonight. We're gonna kind of run through this very quickly tonight, and it's going to feel like a little bit of repetition next Wednesday night because we're kind of going to rehash some of it, but then we're going to kind of put it into practice a couple of times. You have an example prayer tonight at the end, but we're going to, the next couple weeks, kind of try to use this. Now, is there a command in Scripture that tells us you should pray words of the Bible? I can't find anywhere in Scripture that gives me that exact command, but I think it's a helpful thing. And I think there's someone in particular who sets a really good example for us. It's Jesus himself. These aren't the only two places that he prays. In fact, there's other places in Scripture that I could just give you proof after proof that when Jesus prayed, he prayed Scripture-formed prayers. But I want you to notice a couple of them. Look at Matthew 27. Matthew 27. In a moment of Jesus' great need. In a moment of great pain. In a moment of great anguish for Jesus. Notice if you would, Matthew 27, verse 46. Jesus is hanging on the cross. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani." That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" One of the more famous phrases in Scripture and one of the phrases that Jesus says on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" There's sermon after sermon that's been preached on Jesus speaking this phrase, the fact that Jesus took on our sin and that God put his wrath on the Savior and what he endured for us on the cross. And it's a powerful phrase. But what Jesus prays there, he says, my God," he's speaking to the Father. He's speaking to the Lord. He's praying from the cross. But in this moment, Jesus is not just praying of his own thought and volition. He's not just praying just words that he summons from his own heart. Notice, I want you to turn to Psalm 22. Psalm 22. In a moment of Jesus' trial, he prays, but I want you to notice what he prays. Psalm 22, look at verse 1. Written hundreds of years before Jesus was on the cross in the Psalms from God's Word. Psalm 22, look at verse 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Jesus literally prays a quote from Scripture while hanging on the cross. But then notice where it goes. "Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring?" So is Jesus praying, wondering if God is actually forsaking him? And is he wondering if he's been abandoned? Is he wondering if things are actually going wrong? Verse 2, "Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent." That describes how a heart feels when they are separated from God, or when they don't feel God in their circumstance or in their situation. But then notice verse 3, "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded." So when Jesus quotes from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He is saying much more. He's praying a scripture to the Lord. You wonder if there was more said. But even if not, if you prayed more of Psalm 22, but even if not, he's referring to the trust to be delivered, to rise again from the dead. Jesus prays the scripture. And then I want you to notice, if you would, in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Jesus not only prayed scripture from the cross, but remember when Jesus was asked, Lord, teach us to pray, and he prayed that model Lord's Prayer for us, the one we're not familiar with, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We know it, we're familiar with most, some may even have it memorized. And so we know that Jesus gave that model prayer when he was asked, Lord, teach us to pray. I want you to notice in Matthew 6, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus teaching on different topics to Jewish people, and he teaches in Matthew 6 on prayer. Verse number 5, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues. They love to be seen and heard of other human beings praying. But we shouldn't pray so that other human beings hear it. We should pray so God hears it. He's the one who answers. Notice, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, when thou hast shut thy door. Verse 6, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Then we see the same phrase, but when you pray, you don't use vain, empty repetitions like the heathen, just trying to say a lot of words. God doesn't listen because you say a lot of words. But then notice in verse number 9, after this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We know it. We sing. It's poetic. It's been put into songs. It's well written. And we may say, well, it's an eloquent prayer. It's simple in its form. But here is the truth about the Lord's Prayer. It is scripture-formed prayer. So what I've done, there's others that have helped compile these things, but I want you to notice, I just gave you phrase by phrase the Lord's Prayer, and then a supporting passage from what Jesus had as his scripture, the Old Testament, and supporting it. Let's look at just a few of them. We won't look at all the verses, but look, he says, our Father. Why should we pray our Father? Why should we speak that way? Isaiah 63, look at verse 16. Flip over to Isaiah 63, verse 16. I hear two pages turning. Isaiah 63, look at verse 16. Notice what it's teaching. Doubtless, Isaiah 63, verse 16, doubtless thou art our Father. Though Abraham be ignorant of us, and Israel acknowledge us not. What is he saying? Abraham never met us. This is the people of Israel calling out on the name of the Lord. Abraham never met us. He's been dead a long time. Israel, Jacob, he doesn't know who we are. He died before we were ever even thought about. They are not our fathers. But thou, O Lord, art our Father, our Redeemer. Thy name is from everlasting. So when Jesus says, pray, our Father, he's not just saying, let's just say this word because it's nice to say. He's saying, say this because this is what Scripture teaches us that he is to us. Look, which art in heaven, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse number 6. Flip over there. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse number 6. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 6 says, and he said, O Lord, it's a prayer. O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? So Scripture tells us he is God. And he is God in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. There's many verses in the Old Testament that teach us that he is, Isaiah 6, 3, the angels cry out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. It teaches us to magnify and glorify the name of the Lord. Thy kingdom come. Daniel chapter 2, verse 44 refers to the kingdom of heaven. Look over at Daniel chapter 4. Look over at Daniel 4. We'll look at another one. I'll give you all these verses, not in expectation you're going to read them or see them all tonight, but in just showing us. Every word that Jesus said in his prayer was informed and formed by what he knew from the Word. And he's teaching us as an example. You say, well, yeah, but Jesus, like, he inspired the Bible. He's God. So, of course, he knows all the words. Remember when he said, Lord, teach us to pray? The disciples said, show us how to pray. Okay, Here's how you pray. You speak to God, formed by what God has spoken to you. Daniel chapter 4, look at verse 35. Daniel 4, verse 35. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of earth. Does this sound familiar? God does his will in heaven and on earth. And so we can pray, Father, your will be done in heaven, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Examples over and over and over in Scripture. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Every phrase that the Lord prays when he asks, Lord, teach us to pray. And every phrase he said was formed by what God had already said to us. So not to belabor the point, but I want us to jump to this thought. We take the words of Scripture into our mind and into our hearts. We pray. Have you ever sat down on the prayer list and just, I don't know what to say. Lord, help. I take a prayer list. There's a lot of names. I don't know all the names. I see a few of the circumstances, but I don't know what they need. And Lord, help all these people. Does it help if I say their names out loud? Is that what I'm supposed to do? Okay, Lord, help Bill and Jim and Susan and Mary and Scott and help these people. Okay, now God's heard my prayer because I've said their names. Is that what's helpful? It's not. It's a good thing to call out their names. It's a good thing to call out their circumstance. It's an even better thing to pray over people and to pray over my own life and the things that are in it with a prayer that is formed by what God has already said to me. And how can we do that? Here are two thoughts. You can pray Scripture rephrased in your own words. Why would I do that? Because God's Word is inspired and perfect. You literally have a whole entire book called Psalms that is prayers and praises to the Lord. It's a book of prayer and praise to the Lord. God inspired it to show us that we should pray, to show us that we should praise Him. We can read through the Psalms, and I don't necessarily have to turn to a Psalm and for instance, it doesn't mean that to pray the Scripture. I say, open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them and I will praise the Lord. And I have to pray that exact verbatim thing. But no, I read it and I rephrase it into my own life. For instance, I just open to that verse. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them and I will praise the Lord. I could take that and then say, Lord, help me figure out what is right in this world. Open to me the gates of righteousness. Lord, teach me what I'm supposed to do in my life. And if you will show me what I'm supposed to do, Lord, I commit that I will do what I'm supposed to do, but I need you to show me. And if you do that, if you open to me what I'm supposed to do in my life, I will obey you and I'll do it and I'll praise you because you'll be leading my life. I just opened to one random verse, read the verse. It took the verse and just prayed it back to the Lord. And all of a sudden, my prayer is much more informed. Much better than me out of my own heart just saying, Lord, help me today. Though he will. I can say, Lord, how can you help me? Well, you've already told me. You'll open to me the gates of righteousness. Lord, you will show me what I'm supposed to do in my life. I will go in through that and that will lead me to praise and glorify your name. So I pray them rephrase in my own words and I can just open Scripture and I can open to a psalm. I can open to other places in Scripture. I can read a verse. And whatever that verse brings to my mind, I can use it in prayer to the Lord. This isn't my own method of praying. I've read different books. You have Ian Bounds, who has entire volumes of books on prayer. Matthew Henry's method on prayer is about 410 pages long. And I came across a book recently called Praying the Bible. It's about 100 pages long, but it's a really tiny little book. You could read it in a couple of days or a week or an afternoon if you wanted to. And it's extremely effective. And as you read through it, I was like, this is so simple. I've been applying it to my own life recently and it's been so helpful. So I share it with you tonight because you open up Scripture and you look. Psalm 85, I just happened to open to it. Verse number 1. What does this make me think of? So I can rephrase it in my own words, pray it back to the Lord. Or I can read it and what God brings to my mind from His Word, I can pray it to Him. I open to Psalm 85, verse 1. Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. What does that make me think of? God has been really good to me in my life. At different moments, at different points, I've faced hardship or trial, whatever it may be. But overall, as I look at the whole of my life, Lord, I can I can pray with Psalm 85. I can say, Lord, you've been very favorable to me. You've been very good to me. In fact, God, here are some of the ways that you've been good to me. You've been good to me in my life by friends that you brought. I think back in even to times in my life, and I think of Terrence, even when I was a teenager. Lord, how you brought Terrence into my life at a certain time, how you gave me parents that guided me towards you, how you brought me to Joy, and how we've had a good marriage, and that's been good, and you've been favorable in that. Now we have kids, and I'm thankful for that. So just that one verse can lead me to praise the Lord in a completely different way than if I just, of my own heart, just try to think of things. All I needed was the one phrase of God's word to prompt my mind and heart to think with God's mind. And so let's put a couple examples. Let's put it into practice, and then we'll be finished this evening. Here's a few examples from the Psalms. For instance, Psalm 46. Everybody turn there. Psalm 46. And I encourage you to put it in practice today, because this is one of those things you could just take and be like, oh, that's a novel thought. Maybe I'll try that sometime. And then we put the notes away and we never do it. So we're going to give you a couple minutes tonight to kind of look at it and try to put it right into practice today. And I'm telling you, even from my own life, this has been transformative recently. I've had moments where I've been encouraged to pray the Psalms. I've done that before, but just this thought of pray as you read. Sometimes my brain can want to be more scholastic. It can want to be more intellectual. I want to study. I want to get the context. I want to see what the meaning of the text is, and that is how we should study the Bible. Yes, but sometimes I just need the Bible to guide me to pray. God's Word breathing into me so that then I can breathe and pray back out. Look at Psalm 46, a prayer. What about when I need help in my life? What about when I face a hard circumstance at work? What about when somebody in the family is disgruntled with me? What about when somebody is challenging me in one way or another? Somebody I've poured into has turned against me. What about when there's a financial situation that I cannot control? What if there's a health diagnosis that is daunting and filling me with anxiety, and I just pray, Lord, help this? Then that's a good prayer. But I could turn to Psalm 46 and say, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. I can phrase that in my own words. God, you are my refuge. You are where I should run to hide. But today, there are some things that are shaking me. You are my strength. And I can't find that on my own. God, I need you today to be my refuge, because there are some things attacking my mind and my heart that are causing me to fear. And Lord, would you help me today to find refuge in you? Hide me from the evil thoughts. God, today, hide me from the scary, fearful emotions in my life. Notice, a very present help in trouble. God, I know that you're always with me. I know that you're always present. I know that you're everywhere at the same time. But Lord, today, I feel very alone sitting in the doctor's office. Lord, today, I feel pretty astoundingly helpless after that phone call. Lord, I am sitting at work and feel like I am the only Christian miles around, and I am being bombarded by temptation. Lord, but I know you're here and you're present with me in my trouble. And Lord, today my trouble is fill in the blank. Therefore, will we not fear, though the earth be removed and though mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. And just pray frankly. Lord, I've never seen a mountain fall into the ocean. I've seen videos of volcanoes. Lord, I've seen videos of landslides. And to be honest, that's what life feels like today. It feels like the ground is moving out from under me and I can't run fast enough to stay where I am on the hill. Everything's just sort of washing me away. But you and your word told me I don't have to fear. Lord, I don't physically, the earth's not moving underneath me, but my life is shaking. I need your help. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled. Lord, there's some circumstances in my life that are very loud right now, and I know you're good. I know I should read your word, but this circumstance in life seems much louder. It's what I think about more. It's what I hear more often. I need you to cleanse my thoughts. Though the mountains shake with the swelling, and you can just pray all the way through Psalm 46, just phrase by phrase. Pray it for yourself and pray what it makes you think. Psalm 51 is a great psalm, a couple pages over, for confession. Psalm 51, we know it's David's confession after his sin with Bathsheba. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. What a great way to start the prayer. Lord, I have sinned today. But you've already told me you have great mercy and loving kindness. According to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. And I know that now as a Christian, that means through Jesus Christ. Lord, I sinned today. It was bad sin. Lord, I sinned today. I said things I should not have said. But I know that Jesus' death on the cross is more powerful than what I said. I know that the way I responded to my wife or my kids was not right. But Lord, I'm resting in the fact that you died for that sin today. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. God, I don't want to do that sin tomorrow. So Lord, would you help me tomorrow to think about Jesus' sacrifice for me? Cleanse me from my sin. And you just see how you walk through phrase by phrase by phrase. Maybe I'm the only one that this will work for, but I don't think that that's the case. I think that as a church, this is something we should do. In fact, I'm thinking about, I'm not going to jump to it too quickly, but I'm thinking about ways we can incorporate this even into our services on a regular basis. How can we pray the scripture? Let's take three verses, have one of our men read it throughout the week, and then pray it on behalf of our church. Look over, if you would, Psalm 23. It'll be the last place we look tonight. Psalm 23. You can do it not just in the Psalms. It's a good place to start. Next week, we're going to look at how do we pray the Psalms, how do we pray other places in Scripture. Because the truth is, you get to some places in the Psalms, and it says, Lord, like, smash the teeth of my enemies. So you're like, I can get into praying Scripture on that one. All of a sudden, I'm all for praying for Scripture. So how should I pray that? Could I literally verbatim say, Lord, my boss could use some dental work today, and use me as your instrument of wrath if you want to. No, don't think that's what the Lord's calling us to pray in that moment. But there are ways we could pray. Lord, your enemies fight against you, and there's wickedness in this world around you. Conquer sin, Lord, please, in my own life first. Conquer the enemies on this earth and hold back the things that stand against you. But let's finish with this, Psalm 23. Let's put it into practice. I gave you a couple examples, and then it's going to be a little awkward silence for a few minutes. Here's what I want us to do tonight. Instead of our prayer groups or anything else, I want you to look through this with me as we go. Psalm 23, pray this for yourself. You can pray it for your family, pray it for your church, because you can pray it for your own life. But let's just take Psalm 23 and say, the Lord is my shepherd. Here, how would I pray that for myself? Lord, you're my shepherd. You guide me. You lead me when I will actually look to you and listen. God, you provide for me. That's what shepherds do. Lord, you've protected me from things that I didn't even know existed. Lord, when I go astray, you come get me. And I'm glad that you're my shepherd. I don't always show you that I love you. Like a sheep sometimes gets bothered. We have a cat in our house somehow now. I don't know how this happened, but sometimes when I try to put the cat somewhere he should go, he doesn't like it. And I try to take him, I'm giving you food and water. And he thinks I'm just waking him up from his nap. And so he kind of swats at me or pushes my head away and pushes his head away and does whatever. And he kind of fights against it. And I can pray that, Lord, you know that sometimes I fight you the same way. You try to move and position my life in a certain way and I just fight against it. And like a sheep, I go astray, you lovingly bring me back even when that's not what I want. And I can pray that for myself, but then I can pray for my family. Lord, would you be a shepherd to my three kids? Lord, my mom has been through different things in the last few years. I'm thankful to see how you've guided her life. Lord, you keep giving her and keep showing her things and keep protecting her and keep providing for her as you have in these different ways. And my siblings, I can pray for my church family in the same way. And you can see that all of a sudden, when there's a struggle to pray for 5 minutes in my prayer closet without getting distracted, suddenly if I take a portion of Scripture and I pray line by line for myself, my family, my church, and those around me, now all of a sudden, I'm trying to find, I don't know if I can make it through Psalm 23 in an hour of prayer. And all of a sudden, again, it's not that all my more words make me a better prayer. It's talking to God. And sometimes I need God's word to help me talk to him. So I want you to look at this. This is your challenge. We'll let you take it home tonight. Just take the first three verses. We'll look at some more of it next week. Just take the first three verses. Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I mean, it doesn't mean that you don't want him. It means I don't have need. He won't leave me with needs. And you can pray, remember, and praise the Lord for how he's done that in you through the years. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Very simply, He provides for me, gives me good things, leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul, and you can recount how He's done that, and you can ask Him to do that. Leads me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. You walk through the whole chapter, but you have some examples there tonight. And I want us to think about that. How can we pray Scripture this week? And how can it change and make our prayer life better? We can stay stuck where we are. Say, well, sometimes I pray. Some of us have better inclinations than others, better discipline than others. But if you're like me tonight, and sometimes you struggle with busyness of heart, anxiety of spirit, distractions of the world, open a portion of Scripture. Look at a line. Pray it to the Lord. What does it bring to your mind? We can ask Him to help us. I'm going to close in prayer tonight. We're not going to have our prayer groups or song here at the end. We're just going to be dismissed. You're welcome to stay in fellowship. If it's pouring rain, then you can wait till there's a little bit of cover or break in that. That's fine. But we're going to let you get to the road so you can get home safe tonight. But my challenge to you is this: as a church, let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your word. Guide us and direct us. We pray that we would learn from it and be shielded by it. In Jesus' name, amen. You are